We begin with the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, and we'll be looking at this daily between 9 and 10 a.m. Surah Yusuf, one of the most captivating surahs of the Noble Quran. And we've been asking you this morning to share with us what is it that captivates you of Surah Yusuf. And lots of people sending messages and sharing with us the insight on their love for the surah, and we will read that to you later on. Surah Yusuf is one of the Makki surahs that deal with the story of a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story speaks solely on Yusuf alayhi salam, the son of Yaqub alayhi salam, the various types of tests and trials and difficulties which he had to experience at the hands of his brothers and others, in the home of the Aziz of Misr, in the prison, the conspiracy of the women, till eventually Allah saved him from all the difficulties. The purpose of relating this story is to console Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the difficulties and hardships which he had to undergo, and the pain which he experienced from both relatives and others. The story has an unusual and unique style to it. Although it is from the Makki surahs, which mostly have an instructive and admonitory nature, this surah differs from other Makki surahs in the aspect that it is very tender and soft and enjoyable. It has a subtle and flowing style to it. One of the great scholars of the past, Khalid bin Ma'dan, rahimahullah, said, Surah Yusuf and Surah Maryam are amongst those bounties which Allah will grant to the people of paradise, they will enjoy in paradise. Surah Yusuf and Surah Maryam are amongst those bounties which the people of paradise will also enjoy. Subhanallah. Ata, rahimahullah, said, no sooner an aggrieved person listens to Surah Yusuf, immediately he feels energized and refreshed. And that is why we'd like to share this surah with you during this period, to energize you and to make you feel refreshed. The surah was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the revelation of Surah Hud and the difficult and trying period which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to endure in his life. This was at a time when he lost two of his great helpers, his honorable wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, and his uncle Abu Talib, who were both supporters and helpers for him. With the demise of these two individuals, trials and tribulations intensified upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was a period which was known as Amul Huzn, the year of grief. During this period of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, and it was a period of loneliness, desolation. It was as though he was cut off, and due to the ignorance of the Quraysh, they continued to cause all sorts of harms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as though Allah is saying, do not grieve, O Muhammad, and do not be pained by the rejection of your people and they're hurting you, because after difficulty there is relief. After difficulty there is relief. After constriction there is a way out. Look at your brother Yusuf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, look closely at the different trials and tribulations with various difficulties and hardships, the various tests that he went through, the test of his brother's jealousy towards him, their plotting against him, the test of being thrown into the well, the test of the Aziz's wife's attachment and love for him, and then her attempts at seducing him with various traps, then the test of being in prison even though he was innocent. Look at how, when he remained patient over all these hardships for the cause of his belief, and his patience over all these difficulties and trials, Allah conveyed him from the prison to the palace. Allah made him the most honorable person in Egypt and endowed him with the treasures of Egypt. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is what I bestowed to my friends, those who exercise patience over my trials and tribulations. So it is necessary that you brace yourself to bear the trials and tribulations following the path of the messengers who came before you. This is what the surah is all about. Remember, description of events in its itself is not an end. So to narrate a story is not an end. A wise man ought to learn an imperative, the imperative lessons from every narrative and make use of them in correcting and reforming ourselves. So just hearing the details, well, that is a great act of worship, but that is not what we hope to achieve. We need to learn the lessons from this incident, this fascinating occurrence in the annals of history. And whatever part of the certain story that we need to draw lessons from, we need to take those lessons. If we look at the style of the surah, it is unique in the sense that it is the norm in terms of the style that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used. It is a norm of the Quran to repeat a story in several places in order to serve a lesson and admonition. However, it repeats the story concisely without going into much detail. So, more than 20, 30 times Ibrahim alayhi salam has been mentioned, almost 100 times Musa alayhi salam has been mentioned. All of this in various parts of the Quran with references to certain incidents, and the lesson is there for us to draw. But when it comes to Yusuf alayhi salam, all aspects of the surah are related consecutively with much detail and elaboratively at one go. And this is a unique style of the noble Quran. Allama Qurtubi has said that Allah related the story of the Anbiya alayhi salam, the Quran, and repeated them in the same sense but in different styles with different words based on the levels of eloquence and expression. But he related the story of Yusuf alayhi salam without repeating it. Thus, no critic can object to the repeated stories, nor can there be any objection to the unrepeated stories. This is the miraculous nature of the Quran. It is thus absolutely clear that for the one who reflects and ponders, there is certainly lots to ponder about. With regards to the reason of revelation, according to some narrations, the Jews had made a request, and they amongst themselves discussed, and they said to test him, meaning Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they asked him that, if you are a true prophet, tell us, why did the family of Yaqub move from Syria to Egypt? What had actually happened to Yusuf? This was the question. Why did the family of Yaqub move from Syria to Egypt? What had happened to Yusuf? So this was their question. It was in answer to that that the whole story was revealed. It was undoubtedly a miracle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and certainly a great proof of his prophethood that he was simply ummi, one who was not taught by anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had never read a book, who had lived in Mecca practically his whole life, yet he narrated all events mentioned in the Torah correctly. In fact, he told them what was not mentioned in the Torah. There are many injunctions and instructions which emerge from these narrations which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had explained to them. So this is some of the aspects with regards to the surah as we set out on this journey of Surah Yusuf. Let's look at the first verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitab al-Mubin. The words Alif Lam Ra, as we know, these are from the Hurufi Muqatta'at. These are the verses, or these are the words which we do not know the meaning. It is a challenge to Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though Allah is saying, you claim to know Arabic language, yet you do not know this. It is a secret between Allah and His Messenger. Allah then says, Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. These are verses of the manifest book, regarding which it is totally clear it is from Allah. And the rules and the regulations and the admonitions and advices which it embraces are extremely effulgent and clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. We revealed it, a Quran, in the Arabic language, so that you may understand. The Arabic language is the most eloquent, the most extensive, the most methodical, the most powerful of languages that Allah had chosen for the revelation of the noble Quran. Since the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself is an Arab, it is obvious that the first address will be the Arabs, and it is through the Arabs that this divine light had spread through the far corners of the world. So Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you may understand, making reference to the fact that one reason in revealing the Quran in your language is that since you are people of the Prophet, you should first taste the knowledge and the recognition of Allah, and then make others taste it. And this is what happened. Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, Unzila Ashraful Kutub bi Ashrafil Lugha ala Ashrafil Rusul bi Sifarati Ashrafil Malaika. وكان ذلك في أشرف بقاع الأرض وابتداء إنزاله في أشرف شهور السنة وهو رمضان فكمل من كل الهجوه. The noblest of books was revealed in the noblest of language to the noblest of Anbiya through the noblest of angels. This was in the noblest of places. The commencement of its revelation was in the noblest of months, Ramadan. It was thus perfect in every aspect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. We narrate to you a very beautiful narrative, the reason for which we sent to you this Quran. You were certainly of those who knew nothing prior to this. You were certainly from those who knew nothing. So we narrate you the best of narrative by revealing this Quran to you. And surely before this you are amongst those who are unaware. The Jews, this is that they had tried to test Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it proved in vain, for its effect turned out to be just the reverse of what they intended. They wanted to render him helpless, to perhaps put him in a predicament where he had no answer to them. It all went on to prove the excellence and the authenticity of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is what came from the story. Allah says, نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص. That this, through this revelation which comes to you in the form of the Quran, we relate to you a beautiful story in a beautiful manner regarding which you, just like other people, were unaware. Although this story was mentioned previously in history books, in the Bible, it was merely narrated like a fairy tale. The Quran narrates the story and beneficial aspects of the story in such a beautiful, eloquent manner that it only highlights the shortcomings of previous historians. But on occasion, not only does it do that, but on occasions, after occasion, it guides us to significant conclusions. Moreover, it opens a door of knowledge and guidance from this. So amongst the various other aspects and themes of this most beautiful story, what we pick up, some of the central themes. Number one, nothing can stop the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is important, that when Allah has decreed something, that will come to be. Number two, when Allah decides to bestow His favors upon someone, the entire world, with all its collective efforts, cannot deprive such a person of that favor. When Allah decides to bestow His favor upon someone, the entire world, together with all its collective efforts, cannot deprive that person. That is the second theme that will come through from the surah. Third is, patience and perseverance are the keys to success in this world as well as in the year after. Patience and perseverance are the keys to the success of this world and the year after. The fourth point is, the consequences of jealousy and enmity is nothing but loss and degradation. That when you have jealousy and animosity, it will lead to your disgrace. The fifth point, the human intellect is very noble. Human intellect is a very noble virtue whereby man is able to overcome many problems and make his life a success. So this is also a theme that will come through from the surah. And moral virtue and chastity eventually makes a person honorable in the sight of Allah and in the sight of his enemies who harbor malice towards him. So these are some of the points that we will pick up upon and elaborate on these themes. The commentators mention several traditions concerning the circumstances of the revelation. We mentioned to you that the Jews, as well as the polytheists of Mecca, had asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to test him, that Ibrahim alayhi salam and his progeny inhabited Syria? How did the Bani Israel reach Egypt, which eventually led to the confrontation between Musa and Fir'aun? So that is one of the reasons behind the revelation, and we spoke about that. Another reason for the revelation of the surah could be that the Muslim were desirous of learning a detailed historical story which was filled with lessons and admonitions. They wanted something that would inspire them. And moreover, the events of the incident which were to be narrated in the story were in many aspects similar to that which we experienced in between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So relating a story of this nature would be a means of consolation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and serve a lesson, because there's a very close link between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Yusuf alayhi salam. They met in the fourth heaven on the epic journey of Mi'raj. So those who asked the question, they came to know the answer for that was given, and all the other various objectives were also attained in the narrating of the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. And when Yusuf said to his father, "Oh my father, I've seen in a dream 11 stars and the sun and the moon, I've seen them prostrating before you." 11 stars, the sun and the moon are prostrating and humbling themselves before me. That was what Yusuf alayhi salam was saying. Yusuf alayhi salam had seen this dream in his youth, and coming events cast their shadows beforehand, and this was something that was eminent, that was a sign to something that was to come. This was the dream of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, which was then interpreted. The 11 stars meant the 11 brothers of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, and the sun and the moon meant his father and mother. According to Allama Qurtubi rahimahumullah, though the mother of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam had passed away from this mortal world before this event, but in her place his father had wedded her sister, a maternal aunt already. A maternal aunt who already had the love and concern for the children like a natural mother would have. Now when she, after the death of a sister, comes to be the wife of the father, she would obviously have that love and concern. So another very subtle point, and this is what we're going to be doing as we go along, that the maternal aunt has the position of the mother. Al-khalatu bimanzilatil And even though the mother had already passed away, it is as though the Quran refers to the aunt who had later married Yaqub alayhi salam as a mother to him. So this was the dream that he had seen. What was the response from Yaqub alayhi salam? What did he say? قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَخْصُصُ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He said, "O son, do not relate your dream to your brothers, lest they devise a scheme against you. Surely Shaitan is in manifest enemy of man." Shaitan is always lying in ambush of man. He will instigate your brothers against you through his evil whispers. So the interpretation of the dream was simple. Yusuf's brothers were brought up in the house of a Nabi. It was therefore not difficult for them to interpret this dream. Thus the 11 stars referred to the 11 brothers, the sun, the moon, the father and the mother. At some time in the future, all of them will lower themselves before him in paying respect to his great status. And towards the end of the surah, a reference is made to the realization of this dream, where he says, "Ya Abati," he says, "This is at the interpretation of my previous dream. My sustainer has made it true." And this shows that through this dream, Yaqub alayhi salam perceived that upon seeing the special love he had for Yusuf alayhi salam, his step brothers envied this from the depths of their heart. He therefore concluded that if they happened to hear about this dream, Shaitan would ignite the flames of jealousy in their hearts and thereby blind them into doing something which would harm and would also result in their disgrace and evil consequences. He therefore prohibited Yusuf alayhi salam from mentioning this dream to his brothers. Yusuf alayhi salam had a blood brother by the name of Binyamin. Benjamin, Yaqub alayhi salam prohibited Yusuf from relating this dream to Benjamin as well, although there was no fear of any harm from him. It was possible that he would unconsciously mention it to the other brothers and make it known to them. As a side note, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has devoted a book to the subject on dreams and written that there is no Quranic word nor any rational evidence which could support the view that these brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam were prophets. Neither did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention anything to this effect, nor did any of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu hold that view. Can disobedience to parents, severing of relations, intending to kill a Muslim brother, causing him to become a slave and be sold and sent to a land of unbelief, then speaking absolute lies and resorting to trickery and other similar reprehensible acts ever be attributed to a prophet, even if such are committed before his commission of prophethood? So we seek refuge in Allah from such beliefs and notions. Those who hold the views that the brothers were prophets have no proof for that. So that is a side point, and you know, people do inquire in that regard, and therefore we thought of it necessary to share that with you. In terms of the position with regards to dreams, there is some interesting information that we have in that regard, and we look to share that with you, inshallah, tomorrow. The nature of dreams, Qadi Thanaullah Panipati rahimahullah has written about that, that there are three kinds of dreams. We look forward to sharing that with you. We've obviously run out of time for this segment, and tomorrow, inshallah, we have the full hour as well as we go along in the week.